Our text is found in Matthew, the 11th chapter, and we're going to start in verse 28 and read through verse 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Let us look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, we're just so thankful for all that you've done for us. And Lord, we're as thankful for this place to come and to worship you. And Lord, we're just so grateful for each one that is here today. Lord, just ask that as we turn our attentions to your word, Lord, that you give us the grace, Lord, to apply it. And if there be any here, Lord, that do not know you as their Savior, that this be the day that they accept Jesus Christ. Father, we just ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I have been preaching a series on 13 reasons. And 2 weeks ago, I started, and we got to 2 points. We did 1, you belong, and number 2, you are worthy. And then last week we did 3 through 7 of the 13 reasons why not. You have a gift. Life can change at a moment. The big picture is much more than all the details. This storm will help you grow stronger, and your story is still being written. So 13 Reasons Why is a book that was published in 2007 and a TV series released in 2017 about a young teenage girl who takes her own life. And the 13 people she mentions in the tape and the 13 different experiences that each person provides her are her reasons. She blames others and circumstances. So this morning, in way of introduction, a couple of thoughts. Obviously, title is 13 Reasons Why. So these tendencies, and I'm going to finish this sermon up this morning, so they don't just appear, not always be able to see them, but usually display some warning signs giving us some clues. One of the statistics that have been researched, 4 out of 5 teens who attempt suicide give clear warning signs. So what are some of those? Just point out for anybody, talking about dying, recent loss, death, divorce, any kind of loss, behavior, change of behavior, personality, change in eating habits and sleeping patterns, symptoms of depression, withdrawal from family and peers, no hope for the future. This is on, there's a lot of lists, different lists, and they change a little bit. But one of the things you'll find on every list, I found this really fascinating. It's not always the last, it's somewhere. But no hope, having no hope. And God gives us hope. A great resource, if you're struggling or if you know somebody and want some resources, save.org is a great resource. So, is this something we should talk about? Obviously, we don't want to beat it to death. This will, I'm going to finish this up today. But the Bible has a lot to offer, and Jesus is the answer. And to the people of his day who were struggling to find meaning and needing help, obviously, we need to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we do that according to Romans 10:13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that's how we have a relationship with Christ. And then Jesus says unto us, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. God can give us hope where we can find no other hope. So this morning, as we look at the last of the 13 reasons, starting with number 8, you are God's creation. The psalmist David said, I am wonderfully made. So number eight is God's beautiful story is still being written. You know what's funny about this? And there's four words at the end of this verse. I don't know how I cut them off. So what did Job say, Job's wife say to Job when all this calamity had befallen? We talk about Job and all that happened to Job, but everything that happened to Job happened to his wife also, right? Job lost all his wealth. Job lost his children, his farm, everything. And then his health. And not only did that happen to him, it happened to his wife. She lost all her children too, right? She lost all her wealth too. She lost her home. And now, in a sense, she's lost her husband because he is so sick that he can't do anything. You may not understand this. Kids may not understand this, or teens may not understand this until you're married. But God sees marriage, you become one. And when something happens to your spouse, it happens to you, doesn't it? And Job's wife, she said unto him, dost thou still retain your integrity? And there's four words after that, and she says, curse God and die. Just give up. Why? She was really worried about his pain. Sometimes we give her a bad rap in that, you know, how could she say that? But she was hurting too, and she was seeing him hurting, and she was like, it's over, Job. We're never going to have a life again. But the thing about Job, and I've mentioned this before in a couple of the points, is that don't cut life short prematurely, because God's story, God's picture of your life, his beautiful story isn't over. There's a song that was out that was really popular, a Christian song a few years ago, about giving us hope. And the song went, I've read the back of the book and we win. And I like that concept. You know, Christ is coming back and he's going to be victor over all. And it says that we're going to rule and reign with him. So don't give up. Jesus is going to win over all. Well, not only reading the end of the book, the Bible, is a good idea to give us hope, but reading the book of Job is a good idea to give us hope. For in the second chapter, and Job is a long book, there's like 43 chapters in the book of Job, and there's all these tragedies. In chapter 2, when she says, curse God and die, we still hadn't even got into everything that's going to happen to Job. Just the calamity has happened, but he has to, or so much more he has to go through. But when we read the end of the book of Job, it says, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job. All these terrible things were like having him restrained and contained. He couldn't live life. And sometimes things happen that we feel like we're in prison. And reading the end of the book, God has more to the story to free us. And when he prayed for his friends, also the Lord gave Job twice as much as before he had. If he gave it to Job, he gave it to Job's wife, right? As he blessed Job, he blessed his wife. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000. And at the beginning, it tells us how many he had. He was a rich, rich man when you take all these possessions, and then God even made him richer at the end. So Job died being an old man, full of days, lived a full life, and he wouldn't have seen all this. Let's help our teenagers and everyone see that God's story is crafted on a different timeline than the dark periods of our life. He's not done with us yet. He wasn't done with Job. God has more to our story. Don't give up. Number nine, God cares about your pain. And pain is hard, and sometimes it's not physical pain. Have you ever had pain where your heart aches, your heart breaks? You ever had that kind of pain? Sister Paula talked about a blessing. I hope I can share this and it's okay. Yesterday, she had a reunion with her son. That was a great thing, wasn't it? But for years, there was a heartache. There was like a piece missing for you, right? And I know you didn't talk about it a lot, and I didn't bring it up because I knew it wasn't good. But what a wonderful thing, and what an answered prayer that is. And sometimes the pain that we can feel emotionally and spiritually and on the inside is worse than any pain we could feel on the outside. Joe, did it hurt when you had your broken leg? It hurt really bad, didn't it? Did it hurt when they set it? Did they move it around? And it was broken. They kept moving. It's like, leave it alone, right? Well, we can hurt that way. Things can get, one of the things that the signs was loss. And loss can be, a divorce for a child can be great. A death can give great loss. I've been so fortunate in my life. I have not experienced really sudden loss of somebody really, really super close to me prematurely. My grandmother died. She was 90-some. My dad died. He was 90-something. I've had my brother-in-law died. He was 80-something. Joyce's mom died. She was 90-something. I haven't really experienced. Now, I've known people that have died prematurely, but I hadn't had, not like somebody super, super close. Does that make sense? But I've known people. Joyce has had loss. Her niece died when she was 9. Her dad died when she was 16. Some of you know, it's not just death. There's other things. Mom and dad splitting up, or mom and dad struggling. School, all kinds of things can give great loss. Having a girlfriend or a boyfriend or something like that, and that can cause, I know a young man I mentioned earlier, the Hayes' grandson. His girlfriend broke up with him, and he just didn't see any hope. There's hope. But the pain, number 9, God cares about your pain. We talk all the time about God cares about your sin, right? God cares when you make mistakes. But God not only cares about when you make mistakes, He cares about the pain that those mistakes cause you. Sometimes we feel like nobody cares. Nobody can help me with my pain. And I want you to know that God cares, and God can help us with that pain. 1 Peter 5:8, "But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that he has suffered for a while, after that ye have suffered for a while, make you perfect, established, strengthen, settle you." Peter says, look, God knows what? Suffer. Joe, when you broke your leg, did you suffer? Did you cry? You did, okay. That's pretty bad, right? That's bad. Thomas, you ever had a broken bone or something really bad? You have? Did it hurt? Did you cry? It's okay. We all cry, right? John, how about you? Broken bone? Me neither. Good for you. Some people wear that as a badge of honor. I've broken my leg. I've broken my arm. My badge of honor is I've never had to suffer that pain. That's a good thing, right? That's not a bad thing. But I want you to get suffer. Does that describe pain? Absolutely. This hurting. And after you've suffered a while, what? God, you're going to let me suffer? Sometimes that is the best thing for you. One of the worst, you know, as a parent, you want to take your child's pain away, right? And you would do anything. Now, sometimes we like to torment them, right? But we don't really want, we want to take their pain. When Joshua was two, he was sick. He was a child that he would run, spike a high fever for no reason. We often never found a reason why. And he had a really high fever, and it had gone on for days. And we took him to the doctor, and they were drawing blood and poking him. And he was a two-year-old. He didn't understand. And he was looking at us at like, why? Why are you letting me suffer? Well, I'm letting you suffer so that we can get a remedy to make you feel better, right? And we said, okay, and I don't remember what it was. The last thing was an x-ray. And we said, okay, nothing else is going to hurt. Now, I was a naive parent. And you ever had your children have a chest x-ray? Yeah. So they take this plexiglass tube and strap them in it. And so we're telling him that the pain is over, the suffering is over, but we got to put him in this tube, and now he's really upset, right? I wanted to take him and run. But he was sick. We needed to find a solution, right? So was it better for me to let him suffer through the x-ray or save him from the pain? What was best for him? Let him suffer. Did I care? He was crying. Joyce was crying. I was crying. The x-ray technician was crying. Everybody was crying. We felt his pain. This is an incredible verse. After you said, wow, God, there's times in which God's going to allow you to suffer because it's in your best interest. It's going to help you grow. But the God of all grace, the glory of Christ can be seen in your suffering. And after you suffer a while, he'll make you perfect, complete, establish, strengthen, settle. He'll give you times in which that pain is going to be better. Jesus says, I've come that you may have joy. He doesn't always want us to feel pain. Some of my favorite verses in dealing with this subject. We miss this aspect. The God cares about our hurt. Let's start with verse 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, with his stripes we are healed. What is iniquity? Sin, right? It's wrongness. It's sin against God. What is transgression? You ever trespass? You ever seen a sign that says, do not trespass, and you go anyway? It is to deliberately break the law. To trespass against God is to deliberately do what he has said. Do you guys know what the Ten Commandments are? Yeah. I've never done the big ones. I've never murdered anybody. You ever told a lie? You ever said something wasn't true? Yeah. I always regret it. I really work hard on those things. You ever take something that wasn't yours? Yeah. You know, we do those, right? We break God's laws. We have done iniquity. We're sins. And he was wounded. He died for our sins. And Jesus come to seek and to save that which is lost, that which has broken his law, for we are all sinners, come short of the glory of God. We all need the grace of God, for by his grace we are saved through faith, right? That's how we accept Christ, our personal Savior, and he's died for that. Our sins. But we're talking about pain, right? Jesus cares. God cares about your hurt, about your pain. Now I want you to look at verse 4. Surely he hath bore our grief, he hath carried our sorrow. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, afflicted. What is grief? What's griefs? What's grief? You ever felt grief? Have you ever had... this is probably not the best example, but you ever had someone in your family die? It hurts. Thomas is shaking his head. Yeah, you had your uncle die, right? Pass away, and probably others, but I knew you when your uncle passed. That was tough, wasn't it? Really tough. Yeah. Man, and the grief. Is grief sin? No. God, it's okay to feel grief. It's okay to hurt. What's the next one? Sorrows. To feel sorry. Were you sorry when your uncle died? I was sorry when my dad died. He was 90-some years old, and yet I miss him. I had to sorrow. I wouldn't wish him back. He was in bad health. He was in a much better place in the presence of the Lord, right? But there's this sorrow. Is sorrow a sin? No. He died. Let me see. Wounded. He hung on the cross. Father, forgive them. Jesus did that. And 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he bore our sins on the cross. But this verse talks about grief and sorrow. He hath bore. He died not only to free me of my sins, but to help me deal with. He bore our sins and carried our sorrows. He died so that he can give us, what did it say here? Who hath called us unto his glory by Christ Jesus, the grace of God. If God's grace can forgive us of our sins, God's grace can help us with our griefs and sorrows. God cares about our pain. In the Gospels, some of my favorite stories is when Jesus sees other people hurting. When Lazarus died, they came and told Jesus. He was away. And he told his disciples, and they were sad. Jesus wasn't sad. He actually said, I'm glad Lazarus is dead. Whoa. I'm glad. Well, he knew what he was going to do, right? So then he goes to Bethany, and Mary and Martha comes out, and they have this conversation, and Jesus sees their grief. What does it say? Is it John 9:35, the shortest verse in the Bible? What does it say? He wept. Why did he wept? Why did Jesus cry? Because he was moved by their hurts. He had compassion. He bore our griefs. He cares about what you're going through. Just as I cared, Joshua at the age of 2, I'm sure, felt like I didn't care because I was allowing him to go through that pain. But that was the right fatherly thing. And Jesus says, if you earthly fathers know how to treat your children good, how much more will your heavenly Father? And sometimes the pain we're going through, Jesus knows. He's not oblivious. He's moved with compassion. And he'll give us the grace. He's borne it. He's carried it. And he wants to help us through this horrific pain. Who comforts us in all of our tribulation, in all of our difficulties, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble by the comfort wherein we ourselves are comforted. Jesus moved with compassion and comforted others during his personal ministry. God wants to comfort us in our time of need so we can also comfort others. Isaiah 26:3, that thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind stayed on thee because he's trust in thee. God will take care of us. Number 10, you are noticed. Sometimes When people see no hope, they don't think anybody cares. Teens sometimes feel like we don't care, and no one knows they're there. If I go away, nobody will miss me. That's not true. I know that's how Brother Hayes' grandson, the Hayes' grandson, felt, because he had said that. And at his funeral, there were 250. There were 150 plus teenagers there. And if he had seen that, I think his life may have been different. That we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. As we have felt trouble, we can help those that are in trouble, whose mind is stayed on thee, can help others trust in thee. James talks about this, so helping others see that they are important, that they are needed. James talks about that, and he says, you know, people come into your church and you see somebody and you have respect if somebody's wealthy, and if somebody is poor, you ignore them. We need to be careful that we aren't part of the problem when someone isn't feeling noticed. I am so thankful for our young people and all that they do, and I want to give them a home here. When I was growing up in church, I was a church member, and would have a youth rally or would do something for the young people, and somebody would stand up and preach and say, "You are the church of tomorrow." And I always thought that was kind of odd, because I'm part of the church today. It's like, until I get grown up, I don't get to be a part. And we should let people be noticed. We were members of a church in Phoenix, and there was a couple there. They were in their early 30s, and I was asked to preach, and asked to just have somebody dismiss in prayer. And I asked this friend, that they were our friends, to pray. And all of a sudden, the pastor starts praying. And I'm thinking, well, the Spirit moved him, and he had something on his heart and needed to pray. Well, and after service, the pastor and the young man told me that he grew up in church, but he's never prayed in church. That you know, he grew up in a church where young people didn't pray. Well, the guy's 30 years old or older. You're not a young person anymore. But our young people pray in church, right? Do you guys like that?
No.
I don't know if you'll like it, but someday you will appreciate the fact that we've made an effort. We want you. You're not the church of tomorrow. You are important. If you're a church member, you are important to this church today. Your voice matters. And I hope you feel that way. And we want you to feel noticed. I don't want anybody to come to church and not feel like this is a place you can belong. Number 11. There is a reality beyond your perception. I wrote that, and I don't believe it. My reality, that's true, right? Our perception, we want our perception to be reality, but we sometimes focus on things. Life doesn't matter. There is no hope. Nobody cares. That's not reality. That's not true. There's a great story about perception not being reality. Jesus came and ate at a man's house, Luke 7, verse 36 through 40. This Pharisee, who was a leper, had been a leper, and Jesus had healed him, wanted Jesus to come to his house. He wanted to feed him. And so Jesus went, and they sat down, and they were eating. And this woman came, and woman of the city, what that means is, she was a harlot. She was a prostitute. We know what that means, right? So she had been, but Jesus had forgiven her too. So there's this guy who was a Pharisee, and then there's this, but he was a leper. He had issues, and Jesus took care of him, and Jesus took care of this other woman. And she came and she sat, and she knew that Jesus sat at meat at the Pharisee's house, and brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, wept because he had done all, he had forgiven her of her sins, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe his wipe them with the hair of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with ointment. Now, when the Pharisee had bidden him, saw it. So, when the Pharisee asked Jesus to his house, saw what this woman was doing, he said within himself, "This man, if he were a prophet, he would have known what manner of woman this is, and would not allow her to touch him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." And the interesting thing about all this is that Jesus gave him a story of somebody that had been forgiven a debt of, let's say, $100. And then somebody was forgiven a debt of, let's say, $1 million. Who do you think was the most thankful or grateful? And the Pharisee, Simon, says, "Well, obviously the one that has been forgiven more." And Jesus says, "This woman has been forgiven. She's thankful more than you are." And his perception was, Jesus isn't, you know, was his perception right about Jesus? He was way off about Jesus. And when he was kind of mad at Jesus at this point. When he was all said and done, he wasn't mad at Jesus anymore. He understood that he had forgiven. Even his debt was greater than, he couldn't fix his leprosy. He couldn't fix his sins. This woman couldn't fix her sins anymore, and he could fix his leprosy or his sins. And our perception is, sometimes we look at things, and it's not reality. It's not God's perception. It's not even reality of anyone else. We need to be careful that we get our perception. Our perception becomes reality, and then we do something that we and everyone else will regret. Number 12, you can be a light. You can help others. The one thing that is important in 13 Reasons Why is that what teens say and what others say and do to each other matters. You ever heard the saying, "Sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me," or some version of that? That's not true. I think words can hurt, especially spoken by a loved one, can hurt more than sticks and stones. That inner hurt. And when we feel hurt, if we've experienced it, then we can help others. "Ye are the light of the world. A city set on a hill, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and give it and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men." One of the things about the warning signs is no hope. One of the ways we can be a light is to show that God is hope. There is hope in Jesus, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. People can see that we have hope, and they can adopt that hope through accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Number 13, the very last one, as 13 Reasons Why Not: there is help, there is healing. This doesn't have to be the state that we're in. God cares about your pain, and there can be hope after the struggle of there's no hope in life. In Isaiah 61 verses 1 and 2, Jesus, when he was in Nazareth, he went to the synagogue, and they gave him a book, the book of Isaiah, and he read this passage. And this is a prophecy of Jesus Christ showing that there is hope and there is healing. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, and the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. We've talked about hurt and pain and sorrow and all those things. A broken heart can hurt worse than a broken leg, a broken arm, a broken finger. This pain is real, and he will bind up the brokenhearted. He will cause us to heal, to pray, to proclaim liberty to captives. We've talked sometimes that being depressed and these things can cause us to feel like we're in prison. He will give us liberty, free us in the opening of prisons to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to proclaim the acceptable year. Do you know Christ your Savior? Are you being obedient to Jesus Christ? Maybe this is the year you surrender your life by being saved, by being more faithful, church member, baptized, whatever you need to be, and to comfort all. God will comfort us. 13 reasons why. I like the fact that there's 13 reasons why not. There is hope. In closing, this was the text for my first sermon in this series. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy, peace, and peace, and believing that you may abound in hope. God gives us hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We have hope. My text for the second sermon, the thief has come but for to steal and to kill and destroy. There are thieves in this world that wants us to end life and destroy it. And there are so many ways we can destroy it, by drugs and all kinds of different ways we can destroy it, by a sinful and disobedient life. But Jesus says, I've come that they might have life, not only eternal life, but physical life, and that they may have it more abundantly. The hope that Christ gives. If the pianist and song leader will come forward, let's all stand. What page you got for us?